Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Every Tuesday afternoon, we try to get you a little bit of free advice. And today we're chatting about pensions. So whatever your queries or questions, if you're thinking of starting one, perhaps you want to update your own pension, whatever you're wondering, send it in to us. The WhatsApp number is 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp. That's the WhatsApp number for your questions. Paul Kenny, who's Ireland's former pensions ombudsman and course leader with the Retirement Planning Council of Ireland, is with me here in studio today. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea.
On pensions, first of all, never too late to start is usually your advice, isn't
never,
it?
Never too late to start and never too early to start.
Yeah.
One of my good friends qualified as a solicitor many years ago and she asked me about starting a pension. And I said to her, how old are you, Gráinne? And she said, 22. And I said, great.
Really, start then if you can at all.
Absolutely.
I know. And it seems like something that's just so foreign to you, doesn't it? If you're particularly in the private sector in your early 20s thinking about a pension.
Absolutely. And it's very hard for people as well, because people in the younger age brackets have a lot of other things to bother them. They've high rents and they've maybe thinking about getting married, getting children, finding somewhere to live. All of those things put pressure on people, and it's very hard for them to think about pensions at that stage of their lives.
Okay, so a load of questions we want to get to, and maybe this is a good place to start. This texter, Paul, says they have a private pension they put €500 into every single month directly from their wages. I'm now in my mid-30s, only started it recently. Am I better off moving to the auto-enrolment scheme with my employer when that comes in? They don't currently contribute.
Okay, well, of course, obviously, you'd like the employer to be making some contribution.
Yeah.
But the problem about auto-enrolment is that it starts at a very low level, 1.5% from the employer, 1.5% from the employee. And it takes 4 years then before that gets to 3% and 10 years before it gets to the maximum of 6%. So you're going to be waiting a while. I don't know what percentage of their earnings 500 a month represents, but I imagine that they're probably better off paying into their private pension at the moment, because it'll take a while for the auto-enrolment scheme to get to the maximum contribution coming in. The other thing is that when you're in auto-enrolment, the government is giving €1 for every €3 that's invested in the auto-enrolment scheme. But that represents effective tax relief of about 25%. So if you're on the maximum tax rate of 40%, you're much better off paying into your private pension and getting 40% relief. So it depends on your marginal tax rate, how beneficial it is to keep on investing in your private pension. And the third one then is early access. Because if you want to get your pension before state pension age, which is currently age 66, the auto-enrolment won't allow you to do that. You have to wait until state pension age to access the money.
So then are you better to, first of all, just on the auto-enrolment, that just means that the company has to facilitate or offer it. They don't have to put anything into it.
Oh, yes, they do. They have to match the employee contribution. So it's starting off at 1.5% for year one. It goes to 3% each in year four. It goes to 4.5% each in year seven, and it goes to the maximum of 6% each in year 10.
Okay,
so it's going to take a while to work
to
up to the maximum.
So are you better then for that listener to split, maybe put less into the private pension and put something into the auto-enrolment?
Well, you see,
and
the
work.
Problem is that they'll be exempt. If they have a private pension, they'll be exempt from auto-enrolment. Their employer won't have to enrol them in the auto-enrolment scheme if they have their own pension that's live. So it's an either or situation. But because of the tax relief thing, I would say if that person is on marginal 40% tax, they're better off at the moment putting into their private pension.
When you mentioned, and we don't know, as you say, that listener talking about the £500 they put in every month to their own private pension, we don't know what that represents of their salary. Is there a baseline that you typically recommend, which you should be putting in?
No, I mean, the maximum tax relief is age related. So if you're, say, under 30, it'll be 15% of your gross earnings maximum that you can get tax relief on going in. And that rises with age then to 20, 25, and so on, up to a maximum of, I think when you're over 60, it goes to 40% of your earnings could be stashed away in your private pension scheme if you could afford it.
Right. This listener, also in their mid-30s, Paul, would like to retire early, if possible, ideally by 60. I'm making a good wage. I'm good at putting my money away into my pension. Would it impact me much if I started working a four-day week? Something I'm now considering.
Well, the main impact would be to reduce the pay that they're getting, and that would reduce the maximum that they're allowed to have tax relief on going in to the pension. So it all depends on what your gross earnings are, because that'll be multiplied by the maximum percentage, which is age related. So if you're under 30, it's 15%, mm-hmm. Then it goes to 20%, 25% as your age advances. So if your gross earnings are reduced because you're only working 4 days a week, that'll reduce the maximum that you're allowed to put in.
Okay, so that's something. So should they go and speak to somebody about that then? Or?
I think they definitely should, because they need someone to hold their hand, and they're probably not putting in the maximum that they're allowed to anyway. So if they're not, then, you know, reducing their earnings to a 4 day week rather than a 5 day week won't make a whole lot of difference.
Okay. This listener, Paul, is a nurse with the HSE. I'm wondering, how can I increase my pension? I'm actually getting different advice that I don't find very clear.
Okay. Well, if you're in the HSE, it depends on when you joined the HSE what kind of pension you have, but you'll be in one of the three kinds of public service pension arrangement that apply to people in the HSE. So you'll get a guaranteed pension from there, which would be based on your earnings, either your final earnings if you joined early enough, before 1995 or before 2013. If you joined after 2013, it'll be based on your average lifetime earnings. But you'll get a pay-related pension from the HSE. After that, then, if you want to increase your overall benefit, mm-hmm. you should take out an additional voluntary contribution. And it's required by law that every pension scheme in the land has to have an additional voluntary contribution facility. So you sign up. There are providers out there. They're generally linked in to your employer, mm-hmm. and you talk to your pensions officer, and they will direct you to the ABC provider, the additional voluntary contributions provider. And you put your money away there. You get the maximum tax relief, and it'll probably benefit you in terms of the maximum lump sum that you can take. But certainly it will benefit in terms of the kind of pension that you'll get at the end of the day.
Okay. Listener says, I'm 65, I've no pension. I started work in 1978, left Ireland in 89, returned back in 2018. Is there any point in trying to pay into a pension now? I can probably work to about 70.
If you're able to work to 70, certainly I would start a pension straight away. And it depends then on where you worked abroad, whether the contributions that you made abroad may be of any assistance to you in leading to a state pension contributory from the Department of Social Welfare, because we do have treaties with other countries. The EU rules apply to the mm-hmm. whole of the European Economic Area and Switzerland. And then we have treaties with the United States and Canada and Quebec separately, and South Korea and Japan and Australia and New Zealand.
Okay.
And the UK now, since Brexit, we have a treaty with them as well.
So definitely not too late for that, listener.
No.
No. This listener, this is an interesting one. Can we set up a pension for our daughter for when she turns 18 next year and have her contribute €50 per month?
Not unless she's working. There's no point in her in setting up a pension unless she's actually working. If she's working, because the pension has to be related to some sort of employment or self-employment. It can't be just a...
Not a savings account.
A savings account, because otherwise people would be queuing up to take out pensions and get the tax relief on the, on the contributions. But as things stand at the moment, if you take an ordinary savings account, you're not getting any tax relief. It just goes into the bank and it's out of after-tax income.
But once that listener, presumably, once the daughter turns, whether it's 18 or 21 or whatever age, and is in a full-time or is in a job, yes, then the parents could do it, could
absolutely
they?
And they could use the small gift exemption for capital acquisitions tax purposes to give her some money to enable her to maybe contribute a bit more than she would normally be able to.
Now, interesting listener query here. My employer only offers us to join their pension scheme or paid healthcare. We have to choose which one we want to take up. We don't get both. I'm female, I'm 43. I've approximately 40,000 in a previous pension that I haven't switched to my new employer's scheme yet. And I have three questions. Should I take up the pension scheme at my current employer, 5%, they pay 6%, or take in the new government scheme, which means I take the free healthcare? Or do you think that I should opt into my employer's pension scheme and fund my own healthcare independently?
Well, the 11% that are going into the employer's pension scheme at the moment, that's 5% from the employee and 6% from the employer, that is an awful lot more than the auto-enrolment will give for the next 10 years, because it doesn't get to the maximum of 6% each until year 10 of the auto-enrolment arrangement. It depends then on an awful lot of things, whether the healthcare thing is a good value or not. And you really need to take detailed advice on the healthcare thing, because there are so many healthcare policies out there available. Yeah. An awful lot depends on your age, on your health record, on you know, the kind of thing that you think you will need. Because, for example, someone at my age won't be needing maternity cover, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so you really need to get a policy that's tailor-made for you. So I would go to an advisor on the healthcare side first. But the auto-enrolment is not going to give the sort of return that the occupational pension scheme will give for at least 10 years.
Yeah, or particularly from what this listener is getting from their employer, potentially.
Yeah.
Now, this listener's 32, Paul, works in the private sector, has no pension. I've only started in my current company for 2 years. How do I go about getting a pension? Seems to be so many different options. And who or how do I know what the best provider is?
OK, well, now, the first thing is that every employer is obliged to provide a deduction facility to a PRSA, a personal retirement savings account. OK, and if they have no pension scheme, they're still obliged to facilitate you to contribute to a PRSA and to deduct the contributions and remit them to a provider every month or whatever it is. OK, so your employer has that obligation by law at the moment. So you can go along to your employer and say, I want to take out a PRSA and you need to deduct the contributions for me and remit them to my provider. Now, the next thing you do is take advice from a professional on the best sort of provider to go to. And critically, because of age in particular is very important, because age means how long you've got to go to retirement age.
Yeah.
And so that will dictate the kind of investment that you undertake in relation to your PRSA. Because, you know, it's normal for people at younger ages to take higher risks in the hope of getting higher returns on their investment. And then as time goes on and they feel more risk averse, to lower the risk level that they're taking and so on. So your age when you're starting is critical to the kind of investment that you'll undertake.
So they need to sit down with somebody, really, do they?
Yeah, but the main providers out there, you know, Irish Life, New Ireland, Zurich, you know, any of those major providers offer a huge selection of funds, and you can actually set your own risk level, because they actually label the risk level on their funds from 1 to 7. I call 1 putting it under the mattress and 7 number 3 in the 430. So somewhere in between those two extremes is where you want to be invested. And an awful lot depends on how long you've got to go to retirement.
Listeners 40, paying €50 a week into AVCs. I have about 11,000 in it. I've also a defined benefits pension from work. Should I pay more into the additional voluntary contribution?
I think there's nothing to be lost by paying more into the additional voluntary contribution. An awful lot depends on your pay level and what kind of benefit you're going to get from the main pension scheme. So you need to be talking to a professional there to see what the balance is going to be, because, you know, for some people there will be leeway if you're making additional voluntary contributions to increase the tax-free element that you take out at the end of the day. In other cases, you may be restricted as to what's going to come out tax-free and what's going to be taxable at the end of the day. So you need to take detailed advice on that.
Listeners just looking for kind of general advice. Like, is it roughly around 5% of your salary that you should be paying into a pension? Or, like, is there a gauge or guide?
There isn't really. 5% is the probably most common employee contribution level. But an awful lot depends on the individual employer and whether the scheme is defined benefit or defined contribution, or whether it's a PRSA or an occupational pension scheme. So there's an awful lot of variables there. But 5% is a kind of standard contribution. And then you've got to look at what is the employer putting in, because it's really the sum total of the two contributions that's going to dictate what the result is going to be at the end of the day.
Just finally, this listener works as a primary teacher for 15 years or worked as a primary teacher, paid pension contributions and AVC. Circumstances have now changed. I'm divorced and full-time carer for my child. Is there any way I can still continue to contribute to a pension, or what should I do? I'm now on a career break.
If you're on a career break, you're not getting earnings, so you won't get any tax relief on contributions to a pension. There's no point in trying to continue. Really, at this stage, what you've got to make sure is that at least you're going to get credit under the social welfare system for any years that you spend caring for a child or children under 12 or for any individual, regardless of age, who needs full-time care, because you're going to get credit under the social welfare system for that caring. But if you're not actually earning pay, then there's no point in trying to contribute to an occupational pension scheme, because there's no tax relief coming. Really, the contributions are really not allowable if they're not related to a paid occupation.
Paul, we'll have to bring you back another day. Loads of listener questions continue to come in. It's easy to see people are very interested with regards to their pensions and what other options are out there. Paul Kenny, Ireland's former pensions ombudsman and course leader with the Retirement Planning Council of Ireland. Paul, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.